6, Matthew chapter 6, a happy BC day. I think today is actually BC day. And no, it's the long weekend. It's the BC day long weekend. So, and to all of you joining us on Zoom, good to have you with us here as well. We are continuing along in our summer series on each phrase of the Lord's Prayer. And tonight's phrase is, "Give us this day our daily bread." You'll see an outline of the sermon on the back of your service sheet. The title of the text that I've given it is "Our Father, the Provider." Now, a few weeks ago, I had the privilege to preach on, or to teach on, at our Muskrat Meadows family camp, or not family camp, our church camp at Muskrat Meadows, on the kingdom, thy kingdom come. And what I said at the beginning of that talk was that we pray to our Father who is the King. And tonight, we pray to our Father, the Provider. So we live in His kingdom and we flourish because He provides for and sustains each one of us. He is a good and loving Father. And it's liberating that the first half of the Lord's Prayer is all about the Father, which properly prioritizes God in my life. Yet, as the Lord's Prayer continues, we see how much we, like sheep, are cherished and cared for by the Shepherd. And so that brings us to the second half of the Lord's Prayer, starting with this petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." This is about our most basic necessities of life. God cares about physical as well as spiritual needs. We are designed as God's creatures to be dependent on Him, our Creator. He made us to need food and to enjoy it. He nurtures us as His embodied kingdom people to pursue His glory, His kingdom, and His will. Jesus loved eating with people. He told parables about banquets. He attended banquets. He taught about the great heavenly banquet. He miraculously fed thousands by multiplying bread and fish. And He hosted a special supper and broke bread representing His own body given for us. How appropriate that tonight we share in the Lord's Supper. Asking our Father for daily bread ought to foster dependence, gratitude, contentment, and generosity. However, I don't know about you, but I find that as soon as I wake up every day, I undermine this very petition. Sin warps me. It insists that I am self-sufficient, that I've got this. I can take care of myself. Everything I have, I've earned. God helps those who help themselves. But do you hear what's being said there? It's the clinical and cynical denial of divine provision. It's a way of life, a self-sufficiency is a way of life that leads not to contentment, but to greed and anxiety. It's the pride and hubris that says, "I am in control." But our Creator says, "You don't even exist without me. And every good and perfect gift comes from above." Therefore, this petition subverts self-sufficiency. And it raises some questions for us. What does daily bread even mean? Is it this? Or is it what this represents? Other questions. Why does this petition emphasize daily? Give us this day our daily bread. And why is this a we prayer and not a me prayer? Notice it says us and our in the petition. Finally, what do we mean when we ask God to give it? So let's look at this. The first thing I want to talk about is that this is a provision prayer, and this is my longest point by far. So if you're taking notes, you'll just have to create like another column for this point. All right, a provision prayer. It seems that when Jesus taught this prayer, he was looking historically to a time when God provided for his people. It was in the wilderness. His people, who were not praying, but complaining and grumbling, knew their hunger, and the Lord supplied their needs for daily bread called manna until they got to the edge of the promised land. This was our first reading in Exodus 16. So how did this work? Well, it was miraculous because every morning for 5 days a week, and then double the amount on the sixth day so that they could rest on the seventh, God provided manna in the wilderness for his people. He taught them that they could not hoard it, and they had to obey his instructions, or it would get, what did it say? Smelly and full of worms, and it would disintegrate in the heat of the day. They had to trust. This was like God teaching his people day by day by day by day to honor and trust his word. The goal in Exodus 16, chapter 12, the goal was that they would be filled with bread, and then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So this is a school of dependence happening in the wilderness for 40 years. It was a very long degree program because his people were so stubborn. It's about knowing the Lord. It's about knowing his dependable, trustworthy, generous self. And the manna even tasted like wafers made with honey. So it wasn't even just subsistence food. Subsistence, say that 10 times quickly. It was food that was good to eat. It was enjoyable. It was a divine gift. Tens of thousands of people moving around the wilderness every day except the Sabbath, twice the amount on the sixth day for 40 years, ending precisely when they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Like, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. There's just no earthly explanation for this miracle. The people couldn't provide for themselves. They were nomads in uninhabitable land, and their life or death was completely in God's hands. And so daily bread means everything we need to survive, which comes from the hand of God. He is our provider. But that situation in Exodus was a pretty unique one. And unlike the Exodus wanderings, God normally today uses means to give us our daily provisions. In other words, he doesn't just drop bread on our plate every morning like he did in Exodus 16. How does this work today? As humans, we are created in his image with the responsibility to tend and care for the earth. We are given wisdom and learning and skill to know how to produce food and to feed the whole world, just like Joseph did for Egypt and all the other nations over a 7-year famine. We read about that in the book of Genesis. So it's not just this loaf of bread that magically appears every day, but it's the systems that God has enabled his human creatures to develop. I think that's included in this prayer for daily bread. Martin Luther figured that this meant everything we need for our bodily well-being. In his larger catechism, he wrote, quote, "Food, drink, clothes, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money and goods, a godly husband or wife, devout children, good workers, honest and faithful leaders, good government, good weather, peace, health, law and order, an honorable name, faithful friends, trustworthy neighbors, and things like that. So that's Martin Luther. He's thinking beyond the just the piece of bread. He's thinking about the system, right? So daily bread implies the infrastructure which allows us access to food. Weather patterns enabling crop growth, the wisdom and strength of farmers, truckers and railroaders and ship crews who move goods to market, those who stock shelves or set up a booth at a farmer's market, those who prepare and serve meals, and the economic flow and reliable government which enables all of this to occur. It's the entire system necessary for the preservation of life. Now, I think that's pretty impressive. David Jones, who is not here tonight, always, whenever we give thanks for food, he always, I'm exaggerating, he almost always gives thanks for the truckers that brought it to the supermarket. And he's right. He's thinking about the system of food. It's not just the thing on our plate, but how it got there. Now, this might bring up a question for you. Do you ever wonder, what is the balance or the tension between trusting and relying on God and our own good planning? Well, let me put it to you this way. We trust Him for the garden, but God makes us gardeners. He made us to be good managers and stewards of His creation. And I think that helps to resolve that tension between relying on God and our own effort. So that's my, that's bread. That's bread. But there's one more element to what daily bread is. It's spiritual nourishment. Do you know that Jesus said in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He goes on to say, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, our first reading, and they died. This, himself, Jesus, is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And we celebrate that tonight in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Our Father supplies both our physical and our spiritual needs daily. And I think the application of this first long point is ask Him daily to supply your physical and your spiritual needs. Second point, shorter, a daily prayer. And two times in the petition, it says this day and then daily. And I don't know if you noticed it. I don't think I noticed that until Thursday this week, that it actually says daily twice. Give us this day our daily bread. Like, this must be a really important point. And it seems to suggest that if you prayed in the morning, you're praying for bread for the day ahead. And if you're praying at night, it means bread for the coming day. Either way, it's got the next about 24 hours in view. It's immediate needs. It's just like the Exodus wilderness wanderings. The principle of life in our Father's kingdom is He takes care of us. We don't need more than what is sufficient for each day. And to continually crave more, I think, reveals anxiety about the future and a lack of trust in God. So this is a prayer for one day at a time, like manna. Now, the problem is that in the world that we live in today, this just doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it? We all have refrigerators. We can go to TNT or Costco. But the Christian way is to live in dependence upon God one day at a time. Again, I don't think this is incompatible with planning or shopping or freezers, but it is a stark reminder of how much we depend on Him ultimately, because all of the stuff in TNT has to come from somewhere. And it starts with a piece of ground or an animal that God has provided. Now, in the same chapter, in chapter 6, and we read this in our second reading, I just want to remind you of a few verses. This is a daily prayer. And so Jesus teaches us later on in the chapter, starting in verse 31, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself." So it's a daily prayer. Next point, it is a we prayer, not a me prayer. Note that the petition says, "Give us this day our daily bread." This isn't about me or my family or even my church, but us is all those who have become children of the Father by faith in Jesus. This prayer emphasizes our dependence, knitting us together with our brothers and sisters in every part of God's kingdom. I think this petition in the plural makes us socially aware of the needs of others. But we all know that we live in a radically unequal world. And even in the church, what the church has in some parts of the world is much less than what the church has in the West. A small percentage have much more than they need, while a much larger percentage scrape by with the minimum. So this begs the question, is there a way of rebalancing God's ample supply so that we really engage this idea of our? Well, Daryl Johnson quotes a Latin American prayer, and it goes like this: "O God, to those who have hunger, give bread. And to those who have bread, give the hunger for justice." Now, I don't know how we work that out, or how you work that out, or how we work that out. It's more appropriate to say we than just you or me. How do we work that out as a church? And that's something that we'll talk about in our portico discussion afterwards. Peter Kreeft, an author and commentator, makes a lovely point in his book on the Lord's Prayer. He alerts us not just to the fact that the production of our food is a collective, shared, interdependent activity, but also is our consumption of our daily bread. He says, quote, "It is fitting that the consummation of that long process of sowing, reaping, transporting, selling, and preparing the food, namely eating it, is also social." I think that's a great insight, and it's reflected again in the Holy Communion tonight, where we gather together at the Lord's table and receive the body and blood of Christ. We are part of one body, organically connected, and we are nourished together as a community in Holy Communion. My final point is that this is a grace prayer, a grace prayer. The first word of the petition is give. And that word just by itself is a confession of our dependence upon God. We are reliant on His gracious response to this petition. Therefore, God's answer to this prayer, whatever it is grace. Bread is grace, but so is the hunger for it. We are designed as God's creatures, as I said earlier, to be dependent on Him, the Creator, day by day. We get hungry. Well, I don't know about you. I get hungry multiple times a day. God is our giver, our provider, and our sustainer, and He's created our very bodies to be open to receiving the grace that He wants to give us. And I think there's three necessary implications of this grace. The first is gratitude. Do you give thanks at mealtimes? I think there ought to be a mathematical correlation between asking and thanking. Every time I partake, I give thanks, for everything I eat is an answer to prayer. Thank you, Father, for all the ways that you provide for us. That puts us in a totally different frame of mind, doesn't it? If we're constantly thanking God for all that He has given us, I think we start to see the world around us with fresh eyes. We begin to see God's abundance that is built into His good creation. Seeds, plants, fruit, tomatoes, berries. It's astonishing when we look at the magnitude of what is produced in the world. And we should be thankful for that. So that's the first implication, is gratitude. Secondly, it's contentment. And my home Bible study this week insisted that gratitude leads to contentment. You know contentment when you realize how much and how repeatedly you are nourished, which happens when you are thankful for it. So contentment is an outcome of this grace of God. And third, generosity. As God our Father is generous to us, He wants us to move, He wants to move us beyond fearful accumulation into an outrageous, joyful generosity. And so again, a practical question for us, how do we share God's grace with others? Well, meals together is one very precious way to do this. It's not about saving money, it's about hospitality and fellowship. Sharing food at potluck meals is something we do as a church, and we'll do more of that as we enter into the fall. So generosity. So as I wrap up, this is a provision prayer, it's a daily prayer, it's a we prayer, and it's a grace prayer. And I think the catechism ends or has one question that helpfully summarizes everything I've tried to say tonight. And it's from To Be a Christian, our Anglican catechism. And the question is, why should you pray for daily bread? And the answer is, God calls me to trust Him for the needs of each day, to be concerned for the needs of others, to be content with what I have, and to grow in gratitude for His provision. And I think that's pretty good, but I have one other thing I want to say to sum up this whole sermon. Think about this. It might be better, instead of praying, now, hear me correctly, I'm not trying to teach you something other than what Jesus taught, but just as a thought experiment, it might be better to pray, or might be good to pray sometimes, instead of give us our daily bread, you could pray, give us your daily bread. Because you know, you, Lord, know everything that we need. Amen.
Please rise. Please stand. And we'll respond to God's word with this.